Your Saturday morning is sorted with Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
Jeez, this is good mail.
Join former St Kilda champ Joey Montagna.
And I thought I was a bit of a legend.
And Triple M footy and Herald's son pen pusher Jay-Z Clark.
I might do this show nude.
Wow.
Everything you need to kickstart your weekend. Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
It is Triple M's Dead Set Legends talking sport for your Saturday. A massive Saturday of sport, we should say. We're going to have Marcus Harris on the phone, Luke Egan from Bells Beach, and William Pike. As I say, hello to you, Lee Montagna and Jay Clark.
Morning, Rabsy. Morning, Jay. Another beautiful morning in Melbourne. Lovely day. First day of Auskick for a lot of kids today. So I know young Nick Rewell's little boy, James, got his first morning of Auskick this morning.
Yep.
So apparently he hasn't been able to sleep for the last few nights. So to any of the other kids that have got their Auskick this morning, congratulations. Have fun. It's a great start to hopefully a long football career.
Well, my young bloke had his first night. Last night. Yes, because we can't do it Saturday mornings, obviously, because I do this magnificent show. You haven't lived, Joey, until you've seen 45-year-olds try and play their first game of Aussie rules footy.
That's awesome.
Oh boy, talk about congestion. You have all the players in one pocket of the ground. But to see the smiles on the kids' faces when they do manage to make contact, boot to ball, is magnificent. Couple of hot dogs and sausage rolls after the game. People who run it, mostly volunteers, do an unbelievable job. So all the adults who are doing that this morning, have a great morning.
I was going to ask, what type of dad were you last night? Did you get involved and tell your son, get in there? Or were you just sort of sitting back, watching and just taking it nice and easy? How'd you go?
No, I was very much a background guy. You know, there was this one station where the kids were like, had to jump over the hurdles. Yep. I'd do the high knees over the hurdles.
Yep.
And so I was like flipping the hurdles back up. So I was just very much, well...
got to play your role.
Yeah, play a role. Yep. Exactly. But a couple of times my young bloke kicked where he should have handballed. I just had to cover my mouth. But that's all part of the fun of it. So, you know, it's a great social activity. The kids get a lot of confidence out of it, and it's a whole lot of fun. So good luck to Rui's youngster.
Absolutely.
While we're in congratulating those kids, congratulations to one of our own, Emma Friedman.
Yes, Em. Big news.
Big news. She's had a baby boy, William.
Yes.
So well done to... Yes, she'll be listening. So well done to everyone involved there.
Yeah, we've seen a couple of photos, and he is cute as heck, isn't
absolutely.
He, Joey?
Absolutely. Yeah, we are. Absolutely. So congratulations to Charlie and Emma and little Will, and that's obviously why she's not here with us and why Rabs has taken over for a while and on the mic.
But Em, and she'll be listening, we want you to keep sending through the horse tips. Don't be a stranger. Keep flipping them through on the WhatsApp group because we know you've been in red hot form this year. Hey, Joe, we got lots of footy chat today, but I just put together a list of the AFL's top five most improved players. We might get to it in the second hour, but I just want to draw up a little list and nominate the blokes who's stocks have gone through the roof to have really improved this year. So I want to get your thoughts on that a little bit later.
We're also going to chat to Marcus Harris.
Yep.
He's on his way to a very important footy match today for a great cause.
Mm-hmm.
But also he's probably thinking in July
yep.
to maybe pull the pads on against England over there
yep.
in the Ashes. We're also going to chat to William Pike, Jay-Z.
My man.
The wizard, the great wizard. Willie Pike.
Yep.
Anybody that has ever had a bit of a flutter on the horses knows who Willie Pike is, the Western Australian great jockey who gets a lot of people out of trouble when they've just had a bad day on the punt. They just have one extra bet at Ascot because the Perth races obviously go later.
Normally the last one.
Normally just back Willie Pike and he gets you out of trouble. But we'll have a chat to the cult hero Willie Pike a bit later.
What do we call it, Joey? Sorry, Rabs. What do we call it? What do we call the last at Ascot?
The Get Out Stakes.
The Get Out Stakes.
If you've had six beers at the races, you are 100% involved in the Get Out Stakes.
We're also going to cross down to Bells Beach. I don't know if you boys have seen the swell down there.
Freaks me out.
You're going to have some balls to ride that way.
Absolutely.
Unbelievable.
You seen Point Break?
I have.
A 50-year storm.
Yeah, it's
like brewing.
I reckon it's the biggest swell that's ever been, potentially, at Bells.
We talk about being never beaten as a football club all the time, and it stems back to our history and what, not too dissimilar to Port in a lot of ways. You know, we've had to fight for everything that the club's been able to achieve, and that's a legacy that's been left to us and that we want to make sure that we uphold as best we can. And that hasn't been the evidence we provided for parts of this year. But we were outplayed in parts of the game today, but the fight never dissipated.
Boys, that was Brad Scott after last night's defeat to Port Adelaide. What do you make of that?
I admire the North Melbourne Footy Club fellas because I reckon they've been batting above their average for the best part of 10 years. They made the preliminary final a few years ago with not a bad list, but They led West Coast at halftime and were close to making a grand final. But the bottom has fallen out of this list and this footy club, I reckon, this season. Yes, they won some close games last year, but I think we're seeing where North Melbourne is really at the moment, Joey. I think last weekend they had the third oldest team in the competition, and they're not winning games. That's a big problem when you've got an old team not winning games. What is your take? What would you do, Joey?
Yeah, that is a problem, and it's a tough one because, to be fair, we've got to give them credit because you're right, they went on a bit of a different tack to most other teams in the last 4 or 5 years. They went and got players to the club to try and stay up the top, stay relevant. They
didn't tank.
No, they didn't go down to the bottom and just play all kids and lose for 5 years. So you've got to give them credit for that. But the issue with that is if it didn't work and then eventually, like what's happening now, they're not winning, where do they go from here? And when they bring in players, and we know they brought in some players last year. It's been much spoken about. The issue that I have with those free agents is it's a bit different to, say, a team like Hawthorn or bringing guys that are a bit younger like Wingard and O'Meara and Tom Mitchell.
Scully.
These guys, and Scully's he's a bit older, but like Pittard and Hall are 28 years old. So they didn't go and get some players that were 23, 24 and try and top up. They've gone and got some older players to an already, as you said, aging list. Pollock's 26 and Dom Tyson's 25. I don't mind those two. I think Pollock's going to be great for the club. And I think Dom Tyson's a good player. He just can't get a game at the moment because of the inside midfielders they've already got. But they need to get some more talent, some younger talent.
How do they get
that? So to do that, you have to take players out of your side. You have to move players on.
Trade.
And get into trade and get in some draft picks. So
who would you look on that? And if you're a North Melbourne fan driving in the car now, have a bit of a think about this. Because if you were prepared to trade some of those more experienced, older North Melbourne players to try and rejuvenate this list, who would you think, Joey?
You've got to give players away that other clubs will want and get something back in return. And you've only got to go as far as Port Adelaide. I mean, think about what they did. Recruited some kid. They went and got to the draft. They got Dersma and Rosie. And look at how good they were last night. William Drew. Mm. And they've gone and got, and they've already rejuvenated their list in one season by getting these kids that are going to be 10-year stars. So for me, the first one's probably Todd Goldstein.
Really?
I think he's not having enough impact for the Kangaroos. He's still 30, so there's probably enough time. And a team that's pushing for a top eight, top four spot that need a ruckman might think Goldstein might be a good answer.
Like Geelong?
Like a Geelong, potentially even a St Kilda. You may have to St Kilda continue to go up the ladder. Yep. Young Roald Marshall's doing a great job, but maybe they think for a year or two, I told Goldstein might be the go. Maybe Wright, who's 28 years old, hasn't really fulfilled his potential. Even potentially Sean Attlee's 26, played nearly 200 games, but hasn't quite taken the club to another level that's got leg speed another club might want. You might be able to get some second-round picks back in return. Even a Kane Turner, another one that I see not fulfilling. He's not doing enough at the club. But you've got to build your team at the Kangaroos now around guys like Bailey Scott, Larky, Simpkin, Thomas, Davies, Uniacke. You've got Tarrant and Ben Brown at each end that you keep.
Yep.
But they've just got to get more talent in the door.
Yep. I like some of those youngsters that they've got. Tarrant Thomas, Bailey Scott has been a steal of the draft, I would have thought. So they've got some there. But
Larky looks good. You've probably got to stick with Mason Wood now. I think you've sort of pot committed. Stick with Mason Wood and see if you can get the best out of him.
Yep.
Davies Uniacke could be a good player.
So on Goldstein then, if you were a Geelong, what would you be prepared to give up for him?
I think a second round is probably all you'd get for these players. I don't think you're giving up a first round pick anymore for a 30-year-old ruckman.
Okay.
Maybe a couple of extra second round picks you can get.
So they're going to have a top four pick, you would think, in this year's draft. Is that something you'd be looking to put up for trade, or do you take one of those elite youngsters and try and get a Sam Walsh and a Connor Rosie type?
Well, I think you've got to take your pick four. Got to keep that with where they're at.
Could get be the
best
two.
Pick two. Get the best 18-year-old in the competition. We should have a chat, maybe not today, and I'll talk about picks one and two in this year's draft and the significance of those picks compared to the rest.
Well,
I've got some mail. I've spoken to recruiters, and I'll touch on it now.
This is a big story.
This is a big story. My understanding, speaking to recruiters, is that the picks one and two in this year's draft,
which is Matty Rowell and
Noah Anderson, they are both better than Sam Walsh.
You're
is the word
me.
Better than Sam Walsh. And then there's a bit of a gap. So you want to be finishing bottom two and get that pick as opposed to the rest. So that's how big a pick it could be for a club that finishes bottom two this year.
Rabs, have you still got that big call sound? Have you got that little bombshell sort of That is a big call, Joey. So you want to be inside the top two. We know Adelaide's
got Carlton's
got
pick.
Carlton's pick. That is a big call because Sam Walsh.
I certainly don't want anyone to tank. We don't want any clubs to be tanking to get that pick, but there is incentive this year to be getting the picks one or two And you might even see some amazing trades to get up in the draft order to potentially get there.
Well, we got to explore more of this, Joey. But we've seen Sam Walsh can be a game changer for Carlton and the clubs that take him. Oh, I like his onto. He's a hot start.
Yeah, no, he's good. It's a good start.
You come to play today, Joey.
I'm on.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
And we are now speaking to a man who could be donning the baggy green against England in the Ashes. Marcus Harris, how are you going, mate?
Good morning. Good, thank you.
Morning, Marcus. And firstly, mate, congratulations on the Shield final win for the Vics. Another one for the Vics. And it's a third title for you. And not only that, another 100 in a final, mate. It's where reputations are made, averaging 130, I believe, in Shield finals. You must have been pleased with how the summer finished up for you.
Yeah, it was really good. It was a really, fulfilling end to the season. We had a great season. Victoria as a whole, you know, with winning our one-day tournament, then the Renegades winning the Big Bash, and then, yeah, to bring home the Shield was really good. So it was a great season. It was great to get another 100 in the final, but it was just a great reward for everyone at Cricket Victoria.
Oh, you're a very modest and selfless man, judging by that, Marcus. Let's get to the point, mate. When the pressure gets to the highest, you make runs for fun. You just eat pressure for breakfast, mate. What is it like stepping up in the biggest game of your career and continually just smashing the bowlers to the boundary?
Oh, well, I know. Thanks for that. I know in my first field final, I was a bit overwhelmed and ended up getting out first ball. So, I think it just comes with experience. And I know from playing test cricket throughout the summer, it just seems once you come back to cricket after that, you don't get too overwhelmed by big games. So I think it's like just staying calm and understanding the situations and trying to lead from the front, probably my main focuses.
3 tonnes in 3 Shield finals, mate, is outstanding for the Vics and the WA boys before that, of course, but it's Ashes time. And if you're anything like me, Marcus, when the England Ashes were on a sneaky Wednesday school night, you'd sneak out to the lounge room, turn the TV on and hope your mum and dad don't hear. How excited are you about potentially opening the batting alongside Davey Warner wearing the baggy green in an Ashes series?
Yeah, it's a big thing. I still remember when I was young watching the 2005 Test Series. So to have the opportunity to hopefully be a part of it would be great. It's a lifelong goal. The Ashes is obviously the biggest series, and to play in England as well. I know you see it on TV with how good the crowds are. Might be different once you're out there and you're copping a bit of abuse, but it's something that you always strive for. So I'm looking forward to the opportunity. We've got an Australia A series before that, but I know if I can do all the right things and keep making runs, all that stuff will look after itself.
We're chatting to Australian Test batting opener Marcus Harris. I was going to ask Marcus about your preparation from now to the Ashes. You just mentioned Australia A. What does it look like? Do you play any county cricket to get used to that English swinging ball? Is it just Australia A? Talk us through your preparations leading up to the Ashes.
Yeah, so I'm having a break at the moment. Then we've got a camp up in Brisbane in a couple of weeks. So we're up there for a week or so, and then off to England at the start of July. So we're there for about a month with the Australia A before the Ashes start. So I was weighing up my options with county cricket and whether I'd play that or not, but I just sort of found if I played county cricket now, then sort of continued through to next year, I probably wouldn't have a break for almost 2 years, so or a year and a half at least anyway. So just thought I'd take the opportunity now then prepare as well as I can at home, and then head over to England in July ready to go.
Yeah, it sounds like a good move, Marcus. Tell us about the camaraderie and a team bond at the moment with the two big boys, Steve Smith and Davey Warner. I know they've been slowly graduating back into the team. You've had a few team dinners and a couple of beers or something like that. How's your relationships with those guys? And tell us about the chemistry behind the scenes.
Well, I haven't been there since the last test in Canberra, so I only see what you guys see, but I think with those two coming back, it's obviously a great amount of experience that comes back into the team. So I think they'll be welcomed back with open arms, and they're two pretty special players. So I've had a little bit of contact with each of them, which has been really good. So they seem like really good guys, and I think, like you've seen, they've both been doing really well in the IPL. So I'm pretty sure they'll come back into the World Cup team and do what they've done for the previous years. So I think it's exciting. I think people are over everything that's happened and just wanted to get them back in the team and get the ball rolling again.
Harry, you're on the way to a pretty important footy match today in Sorrento, the Purple Shark Day. How'd you get involved in that, mate?
I'm just down here with through obviously from Maddie's Vision and through some people down at Mercedes-Benz Brighton. So coming down to do a signing with Tommy Lynch, and I think I saw Fev there as well, and we got a lunch on as well. So this will be my first game of so-called country footy in Melbourne with Sorrento and Dramana, so apparently it's a big game.
It's not country.
Not country Sorrento. It's where all the nice people hang out, mate. You'll be having a nice lunch sitting behind the glass and enjoying your afternoon. Not quite country footy, but it's a great atmosphere down there at Shark Park.
Parents and kids, if you're listening in the car, get down to Shark Park at 11:30 to 12:30. You can get Harry's autograph along with Tom Lynch and Fev as well. It's only $10 for adults and a gold coin donation for kids to go.
Kick some snags, Marcus. That's what we're after. Hey, last one from me. Have you begun practicing with a Duke ball already, or how do you ramp up the preparations with the Duke ball to prepare for that English swing?
Well, we had the last five Shield games were with the Duke ball.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not the same Duke ball as the English ball, but it's still, you know, it swings a lot more than what the Kookaburra does. So we had those five games, and then I'll probably start hitting balls in the next 2 weeks. So just with Andrew McDonald and Lockie Stevens, our coaches at Victoria, in preparation for that. So it obviously does behave a bit differently, but the wickets are so different over there as well. So I'll do as much as what I can here, but just make sure I'm ready by the start of July. So another week or two, then I'll get into it.
What are you saying, Jay? He had no problems with that swing and Duke ball in the Shield matches. So he will be all over it come Ashes time in England. Good luck,
Marcus.
Harry, good luck with the Ashes prep, mate, and we'd love to see you out there opening the batting against the Poms.
No worries, boys. Thank you.
Have a great day in Toronto today, mate.
Thank you. Thanks.
Marcus Harris there, the Australian, hopefully, batting opener for the Ashes boys. It'd be great to see him.
It won't be. Two left-handers, potentially Warner and Harris opening the batting. Just try and nullify that swing from the English. It'll be exciting to watch.
I'm surprised. He sort of said that he hadn't had much to do with Davey Warner.
Well, he hasn't. He just said nothing. He hasn't spoken. Well, he's been out of the side since the last test.
Yeah, he's still sort of catch up at some point, don't you?
Well, like I don't know. That's why I don't understand how it would work, because they're all from all over the country. You know, got their own different things on. They don't necessarily bring them together unless they're in camp.
Mm.
And he's not in the one-day squad, so he's not part of the camp.
Given they could be opening the batting together, Joey, they might be having a beer together. Anyway.
And Joey, your old mom, St Kilda, are off to a flyer in 2019, 4-1, and they face Adelaide this round. How do you think they're going to go?
Yeah, well, it's another big challenge for the Saints, but another one I think they're up for back at home at Marvel, full of confidence. I think Jarryn Geary is a huge loss for St Kilda, Jay, because you talk about important cogs in a system, especially a defensive system. And there's been a lot of talk about Alex Rance. There's been a lot of talk about, Jeremy McGovern and how important he is at West Coast. I'm not saying Geary's the same type of player, but in regards to the whole back system and the way it works, Geary is the sort of the cog that everything else revolves around. So he's going to be a big loss, not only with his effort and the way he plays, but his leadership and his voice. So a few of the other younger defenders and a few guys that have played a bit of footy in Webster and Savage and et cetera, they need to step up and show their leadership.
To be fair at everyone at St Kilda, they are probably the story of the season so far. We all thought Alan Richardson was in the noose. We all thought this team was going to struggle, especially when they lose Robertson, McCartan, Carlisle and Hanbury to start
the
year.
Jack Stevens only played a couple of games.
Exactly. Yeah. So they're five of their most important players, and they've been sitting the bulk on the sideline. So it has been incredible what this footy club, your old mob, have been doing, to be honest, Joey. But just want to ask you, and this is, I love listening to you talking about this sort of stuff. Tactically, what are you seeing that has been a big change in their game? Because we're all talking about that slower, more conservative ball movement, which protects their defence. Can you unpack that for us?
Yeah, I think first of all is when everyone says it's remarkable what St Kilda are doing. When you actually break it down, it's not really, because all they're doing is they've got a strong defensive system behind the ball. They're organised and they're in a position where if they turn the ball over, they can defend. And what they're doing is they're moving the ball slower, which has been spoken about, out of defence. They're more controlled. So when eventually they do turn the ball over, which happens 70 times a game for both teams, their defenders are in a position that they can then defend and attack and pressure the opposition and not let them score. So that doesn't require a good pre-season of planning. And then it's just up to the players to buy into it and actually do it. You know, we talk about some other teams that aren't quite doing it, like Melbourne and some other teams that are struggling with their defensive. It's buying into the defensive system that you've practiced, and they're doing a great job at it. And you combine that with some great effort and some real intensity and real belief. and wins happen. It's not a remarkable, like, oh, how on earth can they win games? Sometimes, and with this footy, the way footy's played these days, it's a very even competition. It is. So if you've got a strong defensive system behind the ball and you're buying into it and you're having a crack, you give yourself a chance. And that's what we're seeing from not only St Kilda, but Fremantle are doing it as well. Port Adelaide, for as much as they're playing the run and fast game, they've got these kids defensively, they've been rock solid all year. So
yeah,
Cleary and Houston's underrated and these other guys. So if you defend strongly and crack in, you give yourself a chance of winning any game of footy.
And
who's Wilkie? Callum Wilkie.
Hasn't he been a great round?
Yeah, excellent. Yeah, yeah, from playing Sandful, a mature age recruit. He's come in, slotted in nicely, and he's filled the role of Dylan Robertson.
Tell you what, I don't think Bryce Gibbs is going to play tonight. He had gastro yesterday, missed the flight last night. There's some talk that they're going to reassess this morning just to try and get him over to Melbourne in time for the game. I don't think he's going to play.
Isn't that getting around gastro?
Yes.
I mean, we saw Sean Higgins last night, huge out for Kangaroos at lunchtime.
So the opportunity for St Kilda, I reckon, Joey, if they beat Adelaide this afternoon, they're 4-1 at the moment. They play finals. So St Kilda fans, you keep the September free if your boys get up tonight, because it's going to be
Don't
hard.
Jinx. Why would you try and do that?
Jack Steele said it in a press conference this week. They got a soft draw. They'll come home. And I tell you what, there's a massive opportunity for St Kilda.
Just 1 week at a time, tonight. Boys. Don't listen to Jay. 1 week at a time.
I tell you, I saw one of the most... I'm very privileged to be able to work in footy, and you get to see some things behind the scenes which take you back. And I was in the St Kilda rooms last weekend. They beat Melbourne quite comfortably. I go into the rooms after the game, this unbelievable energy. Everyone's batting on the back and the hooping and the hollering. It was just a footy club and teammates just loving the moment. And then I saw one bloke in the back corner of the MCG change rooms, Joey. His name was Dylan Robertson, and he's in absolute tears.
Yep.
Right, he's just bawling his eyes out with his hands to his eyes. He puts his jumper over his head, you know, to try and sort of minimise the distraction. He's missing the whole season with his heart issue.
Yep.
And at that moment, watching his teammates sing the song, he just lost it.
Yeah.
He just absolutely lost it, fellas. And in that moment, my heart absolutely broke for him, because he was a bloke who was missing out on this, you know, this amazing energy and just wants to be out there. He's a very good player, and he was just so emotional. And all his teammates got around him, pat him on the back, were there for him in that really difficult moment. But it took the wind out of my sails a bit, Joey. And as a former teammate, I mean, you'd be feeling it for him as much as
absolutely.
Anyone.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just got tingles listening to you talk about that. You feel for, I mean, it's just an overwhelming of emotions because he's missing out. But that shows, and to give you an insight, and you would have seen that, there is a real strong brotherhood with that St Kilda group. They are as tight a group as what we had back in the late 2009, 10, etc. They are a tight-knit group. They love playing with one another. They love each other's company. And I think they're using what's happened to a bit of Dylan and Paddy McCartan and these guys that would love to be out there that can't for reasons other that they can't control.
Yes.
They're using that to be privileged and feel grateful and lucky for the opportunity they've got. And that's why they're playing and effort they are, and it's something that could ride them for a long way in the season to come.
Good, Joey.
The Dead Set Legends Saturday Scoreboard.
Fair bit of sport happening around the country, Joey.
Yeah, plenty happening. We spoke about the Kangaroos earlier. They went down by 12 points last night to Port Adelaide in a pretty good game of football. I think Port Adelaide always had the game in control. It was a 16-point margin, in fact. But and we forgot, while all this was happening, Good Friday with Anzac Day, that was also the Melbourne Storm were playing on Anzac Day that night. They, again, came from behind to defeat the New Zealand Warriors 13-12 in their traditional Anzac Day clash. So our boys are Storm still travelling beautifully. The Melbourne Rebels, they face the Hurricanes in Wellington tonight. The A-League is still going on. We're getting towards the end, but Melbourne City put 5 goals past the disappointing Central Coast Mariners last night at Amy Park.
So that score might actually interrupt a Melbourne Derby final, because if Perth beat Western Sydney tonight by 2 goals, Melbourne Derby final won't happen.
Why?
So there was a goal difference sort of scenario, and Melbourne City, for some reason, just put 5 past Central Coast. So it's sort
why
of
not meet in
the
a final?
Plans. Yeah.
Wow. Well, interestingly, we've still got, we know that Bells Beach, the Rip Curl Pro is happening. We'll chat to Luke Egan hopefully a bit later on about the conditions there, which are unbelievable. Some of the biggest surf that's ever been there. And then, of course, the NBA playoffs are well and truly underway. Jay-Z, Milwaukee, they're through to the second round of the playoffs. They'll face the Boston Celtics, and the Philadelphia 76ers will face Toronto Raptors. So the two winners of those series will meet in the final of the East.
Did you see Damian Lillard's
How good was that?
Was that like 3 or 4 metres behind the three-point line?
Yeah, 37 feet, they're saying, like just from a ridiculous range
just
to win the game.
Absolute
in Paul George's face.
One question, was it a bad shot or not? Because that's what OKC have alleged. I think it was Paul George said it was a bad shot. He was so far long out, he just got lucky.
Yeah, and Paul George has been now seen as a bad sport because it was actually a good shot. He's practiced those, Damian Lillard, and he's actually, in the series, he was 5 from 5 from that range for the series. So we're talking like 3 metres further back from the three-point line.
Long way
He
back.
Took 5 shots in the whole series, made all 5. So I think that classes as a good shot.
I'm a massive Portland fan, and his nickname is literally Logo Lillard because he makes those shots from the logo every single time. He's a freak.
And what about the celebration?
Oh, yeah.
The wave.
The wave. Because there was a lot of trash talk.
Yep.
As we know, that can happen in American sport with Russell Westbrook. There was a lot of trash talk, and that's a good way to have the final say. In the Western Conference, Houston await the winner of the Golden State LA Clippers series. I think game 6 is today.
Yep.
Golden State, not certain. The Clippers are putting up a good fight. So.
Just a little chink in the armor.
Yeah.
I think all the other finalists will be hoping that the Clippers can squeeze that lemon, try and take them to 7.
7 games.
Try and tie them out a bit, the champs.
Yeah. Mm. And Portland await the winner of San Antonio and Denver, which is going to game 7. That's been an absolute beauty.
And that game's tomorrow.
That's tomorrow, game 7. So our San Antonio Spurs got Patty Mills playing. See how they go.
A couple of weeks ago, Joey, I asked you about Sam Walsh versus Connor Rosie. Now, I saw Rosie have 20 touches last night, 20 deadly
got
touches.
Some real swagger, doesn't
he? Oh, and speed.
Confidence. I like this man.
Are you sure? Are you certain that if you had to pick one, you'd still take Walsh?
No, I said I wasn't certain. I said you couldn't go wrong taking either of them, but I just took Sam Walsh because he just, I'm more consistent or looks, I don't know. You can't go wrong with either
Wavering.
Of them. You can't go wrong with either of them.
The other man's upside is higher, would you agree? And he's shortening in the rising star market. Is he coming with a thunderbolt?
No, I don't know if he's upside. I mean, Sam Walsh is going to be, like for me, like a Joel Selwood type player. Right from his first year, he's just going to be a gun for a long time. So, no, I don't necessarily think Rosie's got the better upside. They're just both very good footballers. But, Connor Rosie was brilliant last night. And, they're going pretty well. So was Xavier Duursma. I like the look of that kid too. 24 touches and a nice celebration.
Yeah.
The Dead Set Legends. Triple M.
Boys, Jackie Billings has been sensational this year. Jay, how much of his play do you reckon has contributed to the St Kilda's improved form?
He's been very good. A number 3 pick. He was one that did have to improve, though, because he hadn't fulfilled his potential, and last year was poor. But you know what happens, Joey, when it becomes contract time. It's time to get paid.
Smart.
Players just happen to pull out all stops, and that man will re-sign at the Saints for about $750,000 a year, because I'll try and hook him up on a long-term deal, Joey. That means he'll have to forego his free agency rights, and you have to pay for that, baby. So it'll be a nice little back deck being put onto his house, I would have thought, when he re-signs. Hey, Joey, we wanted to do our top 5 most improved players of the season so far. So what are we, 6 rounds in? I think that's enough of a sample size to sort of give a few blokes
some players that deserve a bit of love for having a terrific start to the year.
So I'm going to list them up, and you just tell me what you thought. So at number 5, and I've liked this man, we've got the former Sydney Swan discard, because he did fall out of favour at the Swans, Gary Rowan. He's looking deadly as part of this reshaped forward 50. Saw him last week against Hawthorn, Easter Monday blockbuster, kick 4 snags, and he is back to, we are seeing what Gary Rowan can do on a footy field.
Not a bad start. I'll be interested to see who your others are. He played a really good game Easter Monday.
Hang on, your jury's out on Gary Rowan.
Well, no, he played a really good game Easter Monday, kicked 4 goals. But besides that game, he's still averaging career low, like 9 possessions, kicked 11 goals in 5 games. You take away the 4 last week, it's 7 goals in 4 games.
It's a Cyril Rioli rule.
No.
Yeah, you have to have 10 possessions to impact a game of footy these days.
He's been very good.
Okay.
Most improved player in the competition.
Didn't like that one, mate.
It's not a bad start. I'm thinking there's players that have improved a bit more than Gary. He's been good. He has been good. Been a good pickup.
People listening in their cars at the moment. We are tight. Hey, what about number 4, Travis Boak? He was excellent again last night. He's playing a bit more forward, and he's having a huge impact. The former Port Adelaide captain.
Yep, great one. Back to potentially Brownlow medal winning form. I mean, I reckon he's had at least 3 best on grounds, if not potentially 4
you
in the first 7
on.
Games. Well, he's had 3 to 4 best on grounds in the first 7 games. They're winning.
Double digit votes.
He's been unbelievable. So that's a good one. positional change. Gone from playing as a half-forward flanker the last couple of years to being back as an inside mid, being excellent.
Good That's one. His role.
Yep.
Inside mid.
Well, the other kids now play those flanks, Grozy and Dersma.
Yep.
They're playing the wings and the flanks, and Travis Boak back inside.
This man's form has been extraordinary. They've done it again, the Hawks, here with Ricky Henderson. Again, off the scrap heap, footy scrap heap there at Adelaide.
Yep. Delisted from the Crows.
Yeah. You wouldn't know him if he jumped 50. Up in your cornflakes.
He's got the Richard Gere. He's got the Richard Gere going. Yeah, he's got the salt and pepper in the hair. But he's playing some bloody good football.
Unreal.
If he's not winning Hawthorn's best and fairest at the moment, he's certainly in their top two or three.
Yep, absolutely. That's a great get. He is unbelievable how well he's
goal
playing.
Goal from the boundary.
Yeah,
the check side.
Check out from about 45 out. Now, the Hawks, they're geniuses. Yeah, he's been awesome.
Another who's out of contract who might just be upgrading the car at the season's end, I would have thought. And you mentioned this guy, Rabsy, Jackie Billings. So we've sort of been a bit frustrated that he wasn't having the impact that we know he can have. He's moved up into the wing,
yep.
Joey. What have you seen the change in this man's game? Because he is a midfield star at the moment.
Well, I think, first of all, by going up to the wing, it's just allowed him to have more influence in the games. I mean, playing as a half forward, sometimes it can get difficult, and he probably struggled to find a way to impact himself in a game. I think good forwards can always find a way to impact, even if they're not getting the supply. He probably struggled with that, but allowing him to play on the wing means he's always around the ball, he's always involved, and he's just got a bit more of a ruthlessness about him, a bit of a resolve, where he wants to now be great, and we're seeing it. We're seeing his talent come to the fore, and he's been a huge part of St Kilda's improved start to the year.
And you wanted the number one spot. So I've done the hard work for the first four. You tell us who is the most improved player in the competition this year, because you wanted this spot.
Well, you didn't have him in your top five initially. And then I said, what about big Harry Mackay? We just spoke about him.
Yes.
He's gone from being a maligned player, frustrating, to now being the best contested mark in the competition.
Yep.
And he is lighting up Carlton's forward line. And I think Harry Mackay, all credit to him. I know he had the talent. And he was just struggling to sort of find his spot. But his improved start to the season has been enormous.
And am I right in thinking that he has got a bit of speed and athleticism? Like, I know he's very good in the air, but he does have some
He's a bit more nimble for a guy that big, doesn't he? He's quite nimble. Yeah.
He's not necessarily a trained tracks forward. So they're our top five most improved players of the 2019 season so far, Rabsy. Anyone we missed?
Yeah, I reckon you missed it. I reckon Darcy Moore is probably a bit stiff. I know, again, he's someone that's always had talent, but now gone to centre-half back, he's becoming an all-Australian caliber a defender. I reckon there are a couple of guys at Freo that are going underrated for their start to the year. Luke Ryan is an underrated defender, and Alex Pearce, I think, is the all-Australian fullback at the moment. Fremantle got the best defence in the competition, and two defenders there that are sneaking through under the radar that are going unheralded.
So is Rossi back to his... We all got caught up in the whole Rossi wants to kick snags storyline, but is he just secretly in the background, is he sort of doing the whole Saints defence thing again?
Well, I don't think he's gone back to doing the Saints defence again. I think they've just sharpened up their defensive structure. Like what I said earlier about St Kilda, teams that have got a really strong system behind the ball are giving themselves a chance to win the games. And I know all the commentators and everyone wants more goals, more goals. You know what fans want? Wins. They want wins. And we're seeing that from St Kilda and Fremantle off the back of their defence, and the scores come off the back of it.
What about Rabsy, our man over here, Joey? Fremantle struggling last year, another poor year. Comes he joins in, their new...
Knocks off GWS.
Tactical consultant.
Yeah.
And...
All me.
Very
Ross Lyon can't coach. I've just now come in and told Ross what to do, and Freo are now getting wins.
You heard it here first on Dead Set Legend.
Yes, and we're lucky enough now, Jay, to be joined by a bit of a cult hero for anyone that enjoys a punt. The Wizard of the West, as he's affectionately known, he's ridden 7 Group 1 winners. He's on track to win his 10th Perth jockey title.
Dominated.
The great Willie Pike is on the line. Willie, we tried to get you on a few weeks ago when you're in Melbourne for the new market. You were too busy in the sauna trying to shed some weight to ride. What's the morning look like for you today before another race meet at Ascot this afternoon?
No. Much more comfortable today. No 50 kilo ride. So I've had me 2 eggs on toast and a cup of tea. I'm sitting good this morning.
All right, you're ready to go this morning. Had your 2 eggs on toast. Now I'm sitting next to Jay Clark, mate, who's a little bit embarrassed because he's a massive fan of yours. We have a bit of a segment each week on this show. We give our best bet of the day, and Jay knows nothing about racing, so he just goes to the old trusty, whatever Willie Pike's riding in the last at Ascot, that's our best bet for the day. I'm sure you're used to it, but do you feel that bit of weight of the world on your shoulders, knowing that you are affectionately always seen to be people put money on you for the get out of jail stakes late in the day if they haven't had a good day on the punt?
Oh, that's good. I'm pretty happy about it, actually. It's good the way things are gone, but I definitely feel the pressure a little bit, say, you know, a lot of people are counting on you, and if you don't win, then when you don't win, you're like, oh, you know, you kind of let a few people down. But overall, I suppose it doesn't matter. I just do my best. But it's definitely a nicer feeling when you get the job done and everyone's pretty happy with you.
Willie, you're in my Hall of Fame, mate. That's for sure. You got me out of more trouble than anyone over the years. So you just keep doing your thing. But tell me, I mean, we talk a lot to footballers, don't we, Joey, about their competitive drive and their desire and their instinct to keep buttering up and be ruthless at the contest, etc. What is it like for you, mate? Because I've heard you speak before and you're a very relaxed character. But do you have the same competitive buzz, that ruthlessness going through your veins when you're 400 metres out, you're one out, one back, and you're taking on the rest of the jockeys? Do you have that same ruthless edge, mate?
Yeah, definitely. Probably it's curbed a little bit more with experience now. I think in the beginning it was you know, a bit more chaotic, but now it's a bit more composed. But absolutely, we do this to win. We everything about this is to win, and we get a sniff of that winning post, we want it and we attack it.
You are a winner, certainly, Willie. That's why you are going for your 10th premiership over in Perth. You know how to find the winning post. Tell us, what are your goals from here? Because as we said, you've done almost everything there is to do in the Perth racing. What still is your motivating factors? What is a goal or something you'd still like to achieve in your jockey career?
Well, there's still a few things, I guess. I would love to be able to pull off a major in Melbourne one day. That would be definitely has to be one I would like to tick off the list. But just in general, really, I just want to try and stand the test of time and stay competitive and stay being the best.
Certainly dominated for the past decade, Willie. I reckon you've got another decade in you. Where did your love for horses come from? So I know you grew up in an outback town in WA, less than 1,000 people. I think you got... Did you get your first horse or pony when you were 8 years old? Tell us about, you know, what happened when you were as a kid. Would you just go and ride for hours, or tell us about that?
It started my friends down the road, probably a couple of kilometres down the road, and... I used to go and ride their pony and his little cheeky horse. And then one day, for I think it's my 8th birthday, Mum took me out for a surprise, and there was a pony in a yard, and it was mine. So it snowballed from there. I loved it, and I wasn't one that loved the showing side of things. I loved the games and the gymkhanas and jumping and then the fast things and the exciting things. And I suppose I never had anything to do with racing, and just one day my uncle said, I want you to come meet someone. And I'd never been to the races, never really even knew they existed much, to tell you the truth. Went and met my boss-to-be, Jack Cockle, and he took me away to a country meeting. And everything it all just fell into place for me. As I said, I liked the fast things about the horses, the game, the barrel racing and things like that. And racing was sort of the next step from that. It's the next level, and yeah, just the horses, and just at the time it just blew my mind and I loved it.
Yeah, and you're still riding fast horses today, Willie Pike. We're chatting to the Wizard of the West, the great jockey over there, and you're coming to Warrnambool this week, Willie. Thanks to the Tab, you're going to come to Warrnambool and ride in the famous 3-day carnival down here. Mate, I hope you bring in your thermals, because it's not going to be like the nice Perth conditions where you can just sit there and have a nice day. You might get some rough weather, but tell us about, have you been to Warrnambool before and are you looking forward to it?
I went once about, I think it's 12 years ago now.
Right.
So quite a while ago. I had some great memories. I remember having a blast.
Everyone has a good time.
Yeah, that's right. I thought it'd be good to go back and refresh and get it all, you know, get the experience all again. And I was lucky enough, the Tab rung me with the idea of getting me over there, and I sort of jumped at the opportunity. It all fell into place here at home, and when they suggested the Tab suggested they want to bring me over, I thought it was a great idea.
Absolutely.
Willie, you have to be very disciplined with your diet, etc. I know your training regime is elite, but so if you get a winner, mate, how do you treat yourself? Do you have a couple of beers like we do, mate, in celebration of you? But you sort of knock. Do you think you'll knock a couple back this week?
No, I'm not really much of a drinker. I'm a bit of a sad sack. I go home and sit alone, and I don't really drink a lot. Now and then I'll let the shackles loose, but I think I'll probably be there a little bit more business hat on. Maybe the last day I might let my hair down a bit and
yep.
And but up until then, it's very much, it'll be very much business first, and yeah.
Well, millions of Australian men and women have certainly had a beer in your honour, exactly. Mate. So we've made up for you. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, well, that's good. As long as you're cheering, yeah.
Cheering your home, that's exactly right. Get around you. Yeah, you're always trying the best of jockeys, so you're great.
Willie Pike, the Wizard of the West, mate, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Good luck at Ascot today, and then good luck at the Warrnambool Carnival as well, mate.
No worries. Thanks very much, guys.
William, I love that man. A little lovely bloke, Joey.
Yeah, lovely fellow, nice isn't he? Yeah, up for a chat. And Grady, as I said, he's a bit of a cult hero, isn't he, around anyone that enjoys having a punt. You always go, oh, one more bet before we go home and have to buy dinner for the family. We'll just go Willie Pike at Ascot. And he never lets you down more often than not.
Just more of your chamomile tea drinker.
That's it. Just that's okay. A bit of a sad sack in his own words. Just goes home and sits alone.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
Big games tonight and big games tomorrow. Geelong West Coast. Intriguing battle of probably the informed team in the competition. That's Geelong versus the reigning Premier, Joey. You're going to be there for Triple M.
Yeah, it's going to be a beauty. And, 440 doing special comments with Barry Denner and Nathan Brown.
You know, it's also the 2009 Grand Final Premiership reunion that Geelong's having. Yes.
Oh, no. What
so,
are they doing?
Why don't you pop into the function and just sort of...
Is it really 2009 Premiership Union? 10 years.
Stevie J and Chappie and the boys will be having a couple of jars, no doubt.
Just wonder if the goal umpire is going to be there—the one that paid the gold, Tom Hawkins, when he hit the post.
You still haven't gotten over it, Joey. Well, it is one of the most famous. I mean, you were
famous posters.
Still a dint in the goal.
There is. It went the gully. It hit the got that big of a nick. Well, they bought the goal review in the year after that. That's good.
Rabsy, they're still dirty. There'll be 80-year-old men sitting on Rui's porch, front porch in Texas. Ah, the dent in the post, blah, blah, blah. Oh, boy. Yeah. I tell you what, he's one of the most famous finishers in the grand final history. You were also involved in a couple of beauties the next year, Joey. Let's take a listen to the famous 2009 Matthew Scalitz, Gary Ablett's Hopoke.
Oh. Ablett somehow has found some space. Oh. At the last minute, Zach Dawson spilled it. But a clever soccer by Scalitz to Ablett from 18 metres. He drills it long to the tip of the goal square. Big Flyers wanted.
Righto.
You don't like listening to that, do you?
Nah, righto.
Where were you when there was the toe poke?
I was near the middle of the ground. I've got no idea, to be honest. I can't remember specifically where I was.
It's interesting that Matthew Scarlett talks about that moment, and he says they weren't set up behind the ball. So if there was a if St Kilda had taken the possession, if there was a turnover, if the toe poke didn't go to plan, so to speak,
yeah, well, a spoil from Zach Dawson that came forward on Ablett that spoilt the ball. If that just had a bounce sort of 1 metre to the right
rebounded
to where Cozzy was or away from Scarlett, you're right, we had sort of an open 50 and it might have been a different story. But that's sport.
Yes.
Luck and a bit of bounce and, and Scarlett, bit of class.
80-year-olds on
fire. Hey, what was the point of playing that? Why did that come up?
Because the Cats and all the Geelong fans are going to celebrate that premiership moment down at the Cattery tomorrow. How do you see that one going? What's going on with the Eagles?
Don't worry. That was just an aberration. They just got caught on the hop. Port Adelaide came with an intensity and a level that West Coast weren't prepared for.
Mm-hmm.
You give a mulligan to the champs. West Coast will bounce back. I'm not sure they can beat Geelong because West Coast like the big wide grounds. Why they got such a good record at the MCG? Because they spread the field when they kick the ball. Geelong doesn't allow that because of the small, narrow ground. So West Coast might struggle to get their kick game going. And Geelong defends so well, especially at home. I think they'll just win that game.
Ablett, all eyes will be on him after his best game in Geelong colours since he came back from Gold Coast against Hawthorn on Easter Monday. What did you think of the booing, Joey? Because, well, surprise, surprise, Scotty Pendlebury was best on ground in the Anzac Day blockbuster, his third Anzac Day medal. Got interrupted by the Essendon faithful, was still dirty on a couple of free kicks and weren't happy with the loss. What are you making of booing in
booing
footy
in general?
In footy,
yeah. Look, I don't see the point. I think it's a bit bogan, really. What are you booing for? You know, like it's a bit of a protest. It's a bit of a, oh, let's just do it because we can. We tend to boo our champions a bit too often. I think we should take a leaf out of other sports around the world, particularly in America, where they celebrate their champions.
Yes.
We don't belittle them, but we have a bit of a tall poppy syndrome. We try and, you know, shoot down our champs. So Gary Ablett, Yeah, I think there won't be any booing this week, which will be good, and he should play another good
game. Interesting point you raised, because we have seen those tributes in the NBA at the moment,
yeah,
when Dwayne Wade and Dirk Nowitzki,
yep,
when they go around all the different cities, they're getting standing ovations.
But even players, when they go back to their home, I think LaMarcus Aldridge, when he goes back to Portland, they give him a standing ovation, and they say, thank you for the service you provided,
yep,
our club. Where if a player leaves, if Patrick Dangerfield goes back to Adelaide, they don't cheer him and say, thank you for what you did for the Adelaide Football Club. They boo. I think it's just a bit... I don't know, I find it a bit poor taste, but you know what? People are always going to do it. You can't stop it. And if you want to express yourself, you can, but I just think it's a bit bogan.
Pollock and Pittard got booed for,
yeah,
North Melbourne against their old team,
you know,
last night. Hey, St Kilda, your old mob take on Adelaide. The Crows been a bit out of form, a bit,
yeah,
funky.
Yeah, they're a bit,
year,
yeah, they're not quite.
What
playing
do you see
the same
is going wrong with them?
Oh, I just don't think they're moving the ball anywhere near like they used to 2 years ago. I think they haven't sort of adjusted their game to the way that the footy and teams are defending at the moment.
So what does that mean?
Well, they're just
still going long, or
no, they're not. They're not probably working through the midfield well enough. They've got to kick the ball to contest these days and just get to numbers to the fall of the ball. I think St Kilda are a big chance to win that game if they keep defending the way they have.
No Bryce Gibbs for the Crows. I don't think he's going to make the trip over Rabsy, so that's a huge boost for the Saints.
We are fighting the fake news.
The Dead Set Legends.
Give me a spell.
Give me a spell.
Give me a spell.
Phony. Fake.
Tell you what was extraordinary on Thursday, Anzac Day. Boys, couldn't believe it. I was behind glass there in the media centre, standing up for the national anthem in the last post, obviously. And there was the level below us, people standing up also just on that on those outer seats there. Saw two people faint, like, boom, just drop within 2 minutes of each other throughout the national anthem, the last post. As I said, paramedics attended them. It was just weird and bizarre, and we thought Joey and Rabsy, maybe they just might have had a couple of too many beers or something like that. But as it turns out, up to 30 people got hit with food poisoning.
Yes.
After consuming the rabbit and chicken terrine in the pre-game function there.
$725 a ticket.
Holy moly, give me a spell. You want to be, you
give
don't
me
want
a spell.
$725, but yes, it's the biggest game of the year, but you don't want to come out of that one with food poisoning. Seven people rushed off to hospital. Mm. Give me a spell, the MCG caterers. I'm not sure what's happened behind the scenes there,
yeah,
but work it out and work it out quickly, because those 30 people will be definitely after a refund. We don't want to see.
I thought you'd get a refund.
See that. Jeez.
Give me a spell. I just saw this in the paper today. Now, I didn't hear the audio and I wanted to because I'm sure it was tongue-in-cheek, but
yep.
Boomer Harvey, good friend of mine, was asked on RSN.
He didn't.
What about the mid-season draft?
Surely.
Because he's still playing at North Heidelberg, captain coach dominating.
He's 54 years old.
I'm reading the quote. I haven't heard it, but he did say, I would never say never.
Oh,
come on, Boomer. You're 41 next month. Give me a spell. I know you probably still could run rings around a lot of the players out there, but you're 41 years old. Your time's passed. To keep doing your great things at North Heidelberg, but I hope you were tongue-in-cheek, and I'm sure you were, Boomer, but give me a spell.
I reckon he might have filled out the draft nomination form. He's sitting on his mantelpiece at home just next to the
fine
liner.
Let's turn on a bit of a positive note here, boys.
The Dead Set Legend of the Week.
But a champion becomes a legend.
Now, this caught my eye, Jay, in today's paper.
Yep.
Liam Jones, how good of a year is he having for Carlton?
Outstanding. Yeah,
absolutely.
All Australian contention, maybe?
All Australian contention, you
is
reckon?
Is that what we're saying?
He's had a remarkable transformation. He's playing a sensational year. Well, in the
had
paper
a great
today,
one, buddy.
And Carlton fans, you need to listen to this. This is our Dead Set Legend. You should be thanking Zach Dawson for Liam Jones's. No, this is an article.
Your old mate.
Liam Jones's rejuvenation as an elite defender has been part attributed to the mentoring of Zach Dawson.
Oh.
He's now working at the Blues at the Next Gen Academy. Even though the Blues have got list manager Stephen Silvani, who was a pretty handy fullback, apparently, Liam Jones gone to Zach Dawson to transform his career, to be able to stopping all the key defenders that he's doing a great job of this year. So, Zach Dawson, you are the Dead Set Legend of the Week. You have turned Liam Jones into an All-Australian defender. Carlton fans, you should be thanking Zach Dawson.
Did you know that he had the makings to be a coach?
I didn't, but I know he's a very smart man, and he's a very thoughtful man. Well-liked, popular figure Zach Dawson
was at
St Kilda, Hawthorn, and Freo, and he's doing wonderful things for Liam Jones' career. So, Zach Dawson, take a bow, but also Dave Mundy, 300 games as well. Congratulations.
Another winner for us last week, Joe. We know Emma is off. She's had her baby. Congratulations again.
Got Grace Shadow in the first last week. Today, I've got another one that'll just win at Caulfield. Race 3, number 1, Twitchy Frank. It's paying about $3.
Good name.
It's on in about an hour and a half from now.
Yep.
Twitchy Frank will be winning race 3 at Caulfield. Just triple your money again and then enjoy the afternoon. Buy your family some presents.